I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's that time on the radio where we listen attentively to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks because he always has a lot to say and he's always up to date as well. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, we've got to talk about this thorny subject, UK domicile, because there's been some reforms, as I understand. They've announced some changes early last year, but they were then put on hold when the snap general election was announced. So have those reforms now gone ahead or not?
Well, many of them have. I mean, the changes to the UK domicile regime, which we were expecting, they were announced in the earlier budget this year, but then the election was called so soon afterwards they were delayed in implementation because no one quite knew who was going to be in power after that snap election. But in this subsequent budget, Philip Hammond has introduced pretty much all of those changes, and some of those changes could effectively, Howard, prove to be very costly for expatriates. Now, you know, following the delays caused by this unexpected sort of snap election in the summer, the second Finance Act, of course, whizzed through and received the Royal Assent in pretty much record time, with confirmation not only that the reforms are to be introduced, but because they were originally proposed in the earlier budget, they're going to be introduced retrospectively from the 6th of April 2017. Now, whether you're planning to move abroad or you currently live abroad and you're thinking about returning to the UK, even temporarily, these changes could affect your personal tax liabilities. And I think now is the time when you need to make sure you understand what those new rules mean for you and your family, especially if you had any intention of becoming a non-domicile of the UK and thereby avoiding UK inheritance tax. Because now that is going to be a little more difficult than it's been in the past.
Yeah. Can you summarise then, Bill, what domicile actually is and why is it so important for expatriates?
It's very difficult to describe it in absolute detail for simply everybody listening to the radio, because a domicile, a test as to whether you are a UK domicile, and that is significantly different to being a UK tax resident. I mean, if you leave the UK, you effectively become a non-resident of the UK for income tax purposes the day after you leave. But you retain this rather sticky kind of title of UK domicile, even if you only have the most tenuous links to the UK. I mean, there are plenty of cases precedent which indicate that only modest associations with the UK can be enough for you to retain this rather unshakable domicile. And why is that? That's because the taxman would like, at the point in time at which you fall off your perch, wherever you are in the world, he'd like to collect some of your hard-earned assets in inheritance tax. And also remember that the rules are different in most of the European overseas territories. In the EU, for example, pretty much every country has got its own version of succession tax. France, Spain, Portugal, Cyprus, Malta, wherever you're living, you might find yourself in some circumstances outside of a double tax treaty where you might have assets which are taxed by both jurisdictions. On the other hand, you might wish to be taxed by the UK because it's more favourable, but find yourself in an environment overseas, for France, for example, where if you're a French resident, you're going to be liable for French succession tax, which can be very punitive. I mean, in Spain, for example, the rates go up to 84% at the top of the scale. And so domicile is a very important concept. Now, it is difficult to describe in detail simply because each individual has a different series of life experiences and cultural things that they do, and it's for every individual to go through an objective test of whether you've really unshackled yourself from the UK for inheritance set of purposes. And at Blenheim Strengths, for example, they offer a service called a domicile determination service, which is meant to get you to put down all the things that you think might mean you qualify as a non-domicile, and then Blenheim Strengths will give you an authoritative judgment on whether you have changed your domicile. Because if you have, there are some very exciting, I was going to say interesting, but actually there are exciting things you can do financially that can move your assets outside of the tax regime of the country you're living in and in the UK forever.
Do expatriates then who have a domicile of choice outside the UK escape all UK inheritance tax, or are they still liable to assets in the UK?
No, it's an example of how the domicile regime works is that if you are still a UK domicile, and just to be clear, Howard, Blenheim Strengths have got clients who've lived in Spain for 35 years in some cases, but who have retained certain links to the UK, membership of associations, membership of clubs, very frequent travel, the use of accommodation, although in isolation, not one of them necessarily means that you are readopting your UK domicile or retaining it, but in connection with each other, they're not conclusive individually, but they could be added together. So it's a function of how you manage your affairs. Now, if you, for example, have managed your affairs and on investigation are determined to be a non-domicile of the UK, but you retain assets in the UK, those assets in the UK remain liable to inheritance tax because the tax is payable by UK domiciles or by assets which themselves are domiciled in the UK. And so, for example, if you're, I don't know, a Chinaman living in Beijing and you have never been to the UK in your entire life, but you've spent £10 million buying a small factory up in Birmingham and you fall off your perch in Beijing, then that asset which is located in the UK will be liable, in most circumstances, to UK inheritance tax simply because the asset is located in the UK. So it's payable on individuals who are domiciled of the UK and assets which are located in the UK.
Yeah, I understand. Let's look at the changes now, Bill. What are the new time thresholds for domicile?
Yeah, well, up until this change was brought into legislation, and as I say, it's been retrospectively put back to the 6th of April, it was possible to shed your UK domicile of origin if you were born in the UK after living abroad for just 3 years, and then you could acquire what's known as a domicile of choice in your new country of residence. Now that has changed, so instead of having to serve 3 years indicating that you have indefinitely left the UK and you're looking to adopt a domicile of choice, that's now going to take 4 years. During that time, that four-year period, you will still generally be subject to UK taxation, including inheritance taxes on your worldwide assets, because if you retain your UK domicile, then the tax is payable on your assets worldwide. It's a punitive tax. It is notoriously difficult to shake off your UK domicile when it comes to inheritance tax. So don't, Ian, if you're listening carefully, don't assume that just because you've been abroad for some considerable number of years that you have sheltered your assets from UK taxation. It's more likely than not that you haven't, and your assets remain liable to UK inheritance tax. On the other time threshold issues, if you are a non-domicile of the UK and you're living in the UK, foreign-born residents will now automatically be deemed to be UK domicile for all UK tax purposes after they've lived in Britain for 15 out of the last 20 years. So they've come at the argument on timing from two different ends, from the domicile and from the non-domicile. The Treasury reckon that these two measures are going to generate about £1 billion in extra revenue by within the next 3 years. So it's a substantial amount of money for what look like modest changes, but actually they're fairly significant. And if you are someone who thinks that you've acquired a non-domicile status, now is the time to make sure you really have.
So, Bill, for listeners in Spain, what about British expatriates who are returning to the UK? Are there any changes that affect them?
There have been over the last two or three years with the weakness of sterling, an increasing number of people who, for whatever reason, have decided that they're going to go back to the UK. It's not all about currency exchange rates. It's because people often go back for, you know, family reasons, wanting to be with the grandchildren. Health reasons is another big reason why people return to the UK. Now, if you're a Brit and you've lived offshore long term, it's highly likely that you won't be able to claim your non-domicile status if you move back to the UK, even if your permanent home is still overseas and you eventually intend to return there. So if you go back to the UK for an extended period, let's say a couple of years, because you fancy going back for whatever reason, children being born or whatever it might be, and you return to the UK, that period in which you then return to the UK may mean that you lose what you might have acquired of it as a domicile of choice, and you might therefore become immediately liable to UK inheritance tax unknowingly. That's a simple change which has been introduced, which you ought to be aware of. If you were born in the UK, therefore you've got what's known as a UK domicile of origin, and then you acquire another domicile of choice, you shake off your UK domicile of origin by virtue of indefinitely leaving the UK, living somewhere else, you get a domicile of choice. As soon as you return to Britain, you are deemed to be a UK domicile. Now, that immediately will put you in the firing line for UK income and capital gains tax. So that, you know, that could prove particularly costly if, as an expatriate, you've unexpectedly or temporarily relocated to the UK, as I say, for example, due to family illness or for children's education. Because in that case, the wealth and financial planning that's been structured to be tax efficient for a life overseas could instantly become exposed to UK taxation. So if you are contemplating a return to UK at any time in the foreseeable future, for whatever reason, then to protect your non-domicile status, which is difficult to acquire, you certainly wouldn't want to go back to a UK domicile position for a temporary return. You need to sit down and talk to your financial advisor and make sure that you've got it properly stacked up.
Are there any other changes that expatriates need to be aware of?
Well, I think we talked before, Howard, before the 6th of April, inheritance tax did not normally apply to UK residential property, which was actually owned through a corporate structure. Many expatriates set up an offshore company. That company owned the property. Where was the company located? Perhaps, in Jersey or Malta, for example. And when you died, did that mean that you had, departed an asset? No, you hadn't, because the company which owned it continued its life, as it were. And as a consequence of that, you owned the shares in the company which owned the property, and the shares in the company were not in the UK, and therefore, if you're non-domicile, not liable to UK inheritance tax. As you remember, Howard, I said, if you have assets in the UK, even if you're not domiciled there, they are liable to tax there. But if you do have a company which directly or indirectly owns your property, it's known now as an enveloped dwelling, the envelope being the corporate structure, the dwelling being your property. However, now, regardless of how you own that UK property, directly or through an offshore structure, all UK residential property is now subject to inheritance tax, regardless of those corporate tax structures.
So what's your advice for listeners who may be affected by these domicile reforms?
Well, domicile and in particular cross-border taxation is a specialist field, and clearly, just by definition, as I've tried to explain, domicile and the mix of two different tax regimes, and in some cases for clients, even three tax regimes if they have homes in another country, are highly complicated. And it is frankly vital that you get properly qualified specialist advice. There are a lot of barrack room lawyers around, and there's a lot of people who claim to have the depth of knowledge necessary to give you the right advice, but at Blevins Franks, it is all that we do. We look after our clients' interests on the basis that we understand that they need to be certain about their long-term future. So, you know, whether you are looking to obtain a new domicile of choice or whether you're looking to potentially return to the UK, even temporarily, you need to take highly qualified, personalised advice appropriate to you as soon as possible, certainly before leaving the country, so that you can enable any tax-efficient restructuring of wealth and assets to be put into place. These latest changes are new, and as yet haven't been before the courts, so therefore they're untested. It's a very good idea if you're concerned about your domicile, your new domicile of choice, you're potentially returning to the UK, even temporarily, to make sure that whatever you've got in place now remains suitable in the face of these changes.
Well, how can people get in touch with you, Bill?
Well, I think the first port of call, if you don't know the location of your local Blevins Franks office, if you go to the website at blevinsfranks.com, you'll find that there are local offices in pretty much every area of Spain. Select the one that seems to be geographically closest to you and make an inquiry, and someone will come and talk to you and give you some guidance on the areas where you feel you need that guidance.
Many thanks.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Have a good week.